Well, why don't you open to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I'm hoping that the message tonight answers questions for a lot of people concerning, well, really, I guess, almost everything when it comes to your relationship with God. But primarily about your ministry calling. Or in other words, you know, whatever God's plan is for your life is concerning ministry. Now, starting here in Romans chapter 3, in verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law." Well, what law is it talking about? Well, it's talking about the law of Moses. "The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed or foretold, foreshadowed, spoken of ahead of time by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." A lot of people will pull verse 23 out of context and they'll say, well, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and they'll talk as though this is something God's speaking over all of us now. That is not what this verse means. That's not any time. Listen, now I used to say it myself when I was preaching years ago. But it's wrong. If you preach it that way, it's wrong. It's a misinterpretation of Scripture. What he's saying is, verse 21, 22, "The righteousness of God is upon everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In other words, he's saying Jew and Gentile, your righteousness didn't come through the works of the law. Your righteousness only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So therefore, if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have no righteousness. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Jew and Gentile. And so your only hope is Jesus Christ. And so picking this up then, being justified freely by His grace, God's grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He, meaning God, might be just and the justifier of him, meaning us, which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. Well, by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Or in other words, in what can we boast? Can we boast that we did something works-wise that enabled us to be justified and receive the righteousness of God? And he says, well, no, you can't boast of your works. The thing you can really only boast of is your faith. That you put your faith in the grace of God. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. He says, therefore we conclude, or this is the conclusion of the matter, that humanity is justified only one way, and that is by faith. And there are no works of the law or anything else that can get you into this place spiritually. Now, that was a paraphrase of that verse, but that's what he's saying. Now, notice it says several times he's using the word justified, and that he's the, in verse 26, he says that God is the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. So this says that we're justified, okay? Justified for what? You ever thought about that? Justified for what? What gives you the right to say you're a child of God? Well, God justified me to call myself a child of God because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm justified. You're justified. All God's children are justified. But justified for what? Justified for what? Well, let's look further into this. Because, see, when I was raised in church, and we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we basically had the impression that, okay, yeah, I'm justified to go to heaven. But beyond that, I'm not so sure we really understood what we were justified for. And we talked about being born again, sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, and so on and so forth, and I'm going to heaven, praise God for it. But you're justified. Well, yeah, that's what it says in here. But for what? I'm justified. I am justified. In other words, there's nothing I can do to become more justified. I'm already justified. So God up in heaven, He looked down at me, and the moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He says, you're justified. Praise God! Did you hear that? I'm justified! Hallelujah! For what? I'm justified. But for what? Well, let's go on here. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Well, it's great to know you're justified. You know, people talk about, you know, the wonderful things of God and so forth, but most people don't even know what that means. What are the wonderful things of God? Well, He loves us. Yeah, but there's a whole lot more than that. Because that love is what has enabled us to become justified. His love made it possible for our faith in Christ to make us justified. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, look here in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Notice in this verse, it does not say born again. You see that? Now, if you've got a Bible where it says born again, you've got a bad Bible. You need to get rid of it and get you a real one. Because somebody had to go in there and change that and put born again in there. And I don't even know if there is a version that says born again. But it says saved. You say, well, it's the same thing. You should not have said that. I've got a teaching series. I'm born again and I'm saved. I was raised to believe they meant the same thing. Scripture says otherwise.
It does not.
Well, it does too. Jesus said you must be born again, but now it says here that I'm saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? That means I have received salvation. I am justified. And we just saw it back over there in Romans. I'm justified for my salvation. I'm justified unto salvation. I have salvation. Now I'm justified. And how did that happen? Faith. Right here. Faith. And it's a gift of God, not of works. That means that anything at all associated with salvation, which includes, you know, being born again, anything that is associated with salvation and my justification comes as a result of the grace of God and nothing that I do on my own. Now, this is very important to remember because everything associated with me becoming born again and receiving salvation and being established as justified has nothing to do with what I did or do. Because the salvation has already been given to me, and I'm already in a position of being justified. Therefore, I cannot become more born again. I cannot become more saved, and I cannot become more justified for anything. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I cannot do anything to have God look at me and say, well, now, you have just qualified to move up to level 3 of justification. Or you have now qualified for level 4 salvation. You've been good this week. Don't blow it. I'll knock you back to level 1. It doesn't work that way. I have salvation. I'm a recipient of it. I'm justified. And it is a gift of God. So everything associated with salvation is a gift that was given to me as a result of my faith in Jesus Christ. Okay. One more passage. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Taking this one step at a time. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now look here. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See that? All things. All things what? All things related to salvation. All things related, just call it the promises of God, if you will. Everything related to what God has said comes along with salvation. So now, because I put my faith in Jesus Christ, he says, you're justified. Well, justified for what? He says, well, read this verse again. I didn't spare my own son. I delivered him up for you. And right along with him shall I also freely give you all things. My salvation and everything that comes with it. Freely. Freely. See this? Freely. Therefore, everything related to what God intends for me to have, it is a gift of God given to me freely out of His grace. So there's nothing I can do to earn it. I can't be good enough to get more. Do you see what I'm saying? I cannot be good enough so that God will say that now I will give you more salvation than what you first had access to when you accepted Jesus. It doesn't work that way. That works mentality, though, permeates the body of Christ. How come God isn't? Well, it's because you're not doing. Doing what? Well, I don't know, but you better figure it out so you can do it, so He will. God says, wait a minute. They're already justified. If they're already justified, why are you telling them they have to do to get me to move? Let's look at another place. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Now remember, God has said because of my faith in Jesus Christ that He has justified me. I've become a recipient of salvation. And that He, along with Jesus, freely gives me all things, and everything about my salvation is a gift from Him. A gift. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now remember what we just saw a few minutes ago. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. It's a gift of God. Now he says, unto every one of us, all of us, no exceptions. All, you understand this? The whole body of Christ is right here in this us. Unto every one of us. That includes you. Now you need to get a hold of this. You are in this, and it doesn't matter what you think about yourself. You are in this. Yes, but I just don't feel. Doesn't matter. You're in this. You're stuck. Listen, whether you like it or not, God loves you, and He's blessed you, and He's justified you, and you have salvation. Get used to it. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto those who earned them. That part's not in there, is it? Now I'm the one changing scripture. He gave gifts unto men. To all of us, to every one of us. He gave gifts unto every one of us. Gifts. You see this? Gift unto every one of us. A gift. When did you get this gift? The moment you accepted Jesus as Savior. Because this gift is presented to us through Christ, says right here. Well, what kind of gifts has He given to every one of us? Well, verse 11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I'm not going to reteach all of this. Get the teaching series, Taking Heed to Your Ministry. I break it down in its entirety. But what He's talking about here is the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps in governments. That's what He's talking about in this passage. Now, what does that say? He gave gifts to us, right? To every one of us is given this gift out of His grace. When did it come? At salvation. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now that we have God's life in us, we have the potential to live according to the fullness of who Christ is and who we are in Christ. He gave us these gifts. You have been a recipient of these gifts. Now, when it comes to the ministry callings, let's say that you're not called to all of them, okay? But let's just say you're called to governments, or let's just say that you're called to prophet, or just whatever. A gift has been given to you. Whether you open it or not is totally up to you. You know, at Christmas, everything's wrapped up underneath the tree. The expectation of the one giving the gift is that the recipient will open the gift and be happy. Right? Unless you're watching America's Funniest Home Videos when these kids open the gifts and throw them down. Is this all you got me? So God has given to us these gifts. Please let this sink in. You already have it. You already have this gift. You already have the gift of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, or governments. You already have it. It has been given to you. It's yours. Whether you want to believe that or not, God says it's a gift. Now, what does that mean? Well, everything else that we've seen so far talks about how that these gifts are given to us out of His grace and not as a result of our works. Do you know what that means? That means that the gift He's given you, speaking of ministry callings now, that gift has been given to you regardless of what you have done for Him. You could, listen, you may have accepted Jesus and, I mean, had an incredible experience with Him at the altar. I mean, crying and tears and, oh, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And man, I mean, you knew it was real. You knew it was real. Got filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, and you're yabba-dabba-doo everywhere you go. It's incredible experience with the Lord. Ah, but then one day you made a really dumb choice. And you went back into the booze, and you went back into the girls or the men, and the drugs, and the porno, and the just all that yuck. Okay? Well, I have news for you. That gift was still there.
I don't believe that.
Why don't you believe that? Why don't you believe that?
Then because of all the things I was doing.
Right? Because of all the things you were doing. Well, you didn't do anything to get the gift. So what makes you think all the stuff you're doing now got rid of it? Well, look, I'm living a terrible life, a sinful. You're going back to works. Are you not? You're going back to works. The gift is there. The gift came from God. You didn't earn it. And you can't run and hide from it. Be like the prophet. Go find your cave someplace. Try to get away from God. The gift is there. Move to the moon if you want. God will know. The gift will still be there. Won't be anyone to preach to, but the gift will be there. In our mind, now listen to me. In our mind, we justify ourselves for a ministry based on what we do or have done. But God says, no, wait a minute. I already said the moment that you accepted my Son Jesus Christ, you were justified. You see this? So therefore, I'm justified whether I justify myself or not. I'm still justified. And He gave the gift to me through Jesus Christ. So when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, here comes the gift. And not only the gift, but I'm justified to call myself that gift. Now, it may take me a while to figure out what that gift is. You understand what it may take me quite a long time of prayer and seeking God before I figure out what that gift is He's given to me, but the gift is there. That's just like, you know, somebody, you ever given a little kid, like, you know, your child or grandchild a present? You had to put it together for them? Because they didn't have a clue?
What is this?
Well, it's a whammer jammer. What do you do with it? But you've given it to them. It's their gift. You have this gift. Now, think for a minute. You can't get away from what the Bible says about all of this right here. That the gift has been given to us out of His grace, freely given unto us because we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and we're justified to operate in that gift. We're justified to call ourselves that. Doesn't that really seem to fly in the face of all of these preachers who tell folks to line up and I will lay hands on you and impart a ministry calling to your life? Doesn't it? You may have churches right now, someplace in this city, where the preacher or the guest minister, somebody's doing that. Line up, folks, and we're going to pray, and I will impart to you a ministry. I'm sorry, but that ministry gift was already imparted the moment I accepted Jesus Christ and became justified in the eyes of God to participate with that gift. So the gift is there. Let me show you another passage here. Look in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And look here in verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means, that word repentance means regret or change of mind and heart. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The gifts and calling of God are without, they are there and there's no chance that God is going to change His mind, change His heart, change His direction. So the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the gift of apostle, prophet, evangelist, whatever, was given to you. And God says, hey, listen, I gave that gift to you. You accepted Jesus Christ. The gifts come through Jesus Christ. Therefore, that gift has been given unto you. Whether you figure it out or not, that is not my problem. I'm here to help you understand what that gift is, but you've got to believe that that gift was given to you and that there's nothing you can do to earn that gift. There's nothing that you can do to make yourself that gift. Now, you can't. If God hasn't given you the gift of evangelist, there's nothing you can do to make yourself an evangelist. It's just not going to happen. It's impossible. The problem is that the way the body of Christ has been taught these things for so many years, it's all messed up. And so, you know, we think we've got to do this, we've got to do that. Well, you know, you could go to school and learn how to be an evangelist. No, you can't. You can try to be an evangelist, but you're going to be the square peg in the round hole. If God hasn't called you to be an evangelist, it ain't going to happen. Now, you can, you know, try to do the best you can, and God will bless all the truth that you preach and share. I know that much. But if the gift hasn't been passed along to you from Him, then you can't develop it. And then likewise, what He's called you to be, it's there permanently. It'll change as you operate in your gift. It'll change over the years and so forth, but it's there. It's absolutely. Look at another place. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. See, a lot of times people feel like, well, you know, I didn't go to Bible college, so I can't be, you know, this over here. I can't be a pastor. I can't be an evangelist. I can't be, you know, a whatever because I didn't go to Bible college. Well, you don't have to go to Bible college. Well, Brother Martin, you opened one. Yeah, but you know what? If you enroll in Grace Ministries Bible College, one of the things you're going to find out is that going to Bible college does not make you an apostle, prophet, event. In other words, what we do at GMBC is explain to you how to discover your calling from God's perspective. Not from man's perspective. And so you've got, listen, you guys, you all know this is true. You've got Christians who will enroll in Christian universities and Bible colleges so that they can become what God has gifted to them. But unless the Bible college is showing you from Scripture how to figure out what God's called you to be and how God equips, then forget it. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. And it, look what it says right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now look at this. Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter or the law, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth light. Now, who is it that makes you sufficient to fulfill what He's called you to be? It's God. And again, with GMBC, one of the things we do is teach you how to surrender or to submit to God's sufficiency working in you, if that even makes sense. He says, look, let me kind of walk through this. He says, look, you know, here I am, Paul, writing, I'm an apostle and so forth, but I'm not an apostle because of anything I've done. My apostolic calling and ministry and operation has nothing to do with what I have earned from God. And my equipping for the fulfillment of this God, or this call from God, it didn't come from what I did. My sufficiency in this has come from God and God alone. So there's nothing that I can say to boast of myself. I can't tell you that because I was a Pharisee, that's made me a better apostle. No, well, what about Peter? He wasn't an apostle, but I think he did pretty well. I mean, he wasn't a Pharisee, but I think he did pretty well as an apostle. What about James? What about John? See what I mean? In other words, what we do is we look at ourselves and we take personal inventory. Well, this is how my life's been. These are the churches I've attended. This is the church I'm attending now. And as I look back over my life, I did this and this, and I did this and I did this and that. And, you know, I'm just not qualified to be a pastor. Well, if God's called you to be a pastor, then you have that gift. Yeah, I'm just not qualified, though. In other words, you're saying that you're not sufficient. Right. That's because you're looking for self-sufficiency as opposed to God's sufficiency. And your sufficiency is not in yourself. But crying out loud, who on earth is in and of themselves sufficient by themselves to pastor a church? Oh, it's attempted. It's going on all over the place. But my sufficiency is in Christ. Therefore, it is irrelevant what you have done in your past. Because God already knew you were going to do it. So therefore, His plan to make you sufficient for the fulfilling of His gift that He's given to you through Jesus, it's already there. Your sufficiency to operate in your ministry originates from Christ. And this is a difficult thing for us to understand because we want to look at our own abilities, our own efforts, and our own what we can do. We want to look at our churches are training us to do. And just all this kind of stuff. And the thing is, if a church isn't training you how to follow Christ, the church isn't doing a good job. Well, you need to follow Christ. Amen. Praise God. How do we do that? Well, pray some. You know, okay, I'll pray some. Well, you need to come to church. Yeah, I got to do. Well, you need to put money in the plate. Glory to God, I can do that too. What else? Well, help clean the church when it needs to be cleaned. All right, I can do that. Feed the hungry. I can do that. Clothe the naked. I can do that. You see what I'm getting at? And God's up in heaven saying, that doesn't do it. That doesn't earn you the right to be a pastor. Because you're already justified to be a pastor if that's the gift I've given you. You're already justified to be an evangelist. You just need to figure it out. You need to figure out your calling because that's what you are. Hey, listen, all you folks out there that are listening to this, whether you're here in the flesh or you're watching or you're listening after the fact, you just might as well get it settled in your heart. The gift has already been given to you. You do not have to labor in prayer asking God if He'll give you something. It's already there. And for all of you that, you know, you kind of have this, it's almost a pity party. Well, I just don't have a calling. Well, I just don't have a minute. Well, I do the best I can for the Lord. Oh, I love Him with all my heart. You know what I'm talking about? You better get over that. And you better start digging around in the realm of your spirit to find out what God has put in there. Because that gift is in there, whether you know it or not. And if you're in a church that tells you you've got to do something to get your gift, forget it, man. Get out of that church. Because what they're doing is they're telling you, you have to earn through some kind of works that which God has already given to you through Jesus. It's already in there. Look at another place. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Salvation is your qualification for your calling. Let me say that again. Salvation is your qualification for calling, for your calling, for your gift. Because the moment that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you became a recipient of salvation, you were then qualified to be a pastor. Salvation is your qualification, but salvation is not your equipping. Now let that sink in. Salvation just justifies you for that calling. Salvation qualifies you to receive that gift. But salvation itself does not equip you for the operation of that gift. Let me explain what I mean. Look here in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22. And we're going to see a contrast in some things. And we're kind of jumping in mid-sentence, but it says that you put off concerning the former conversation or your old ways, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what he's saying here is that, look, stop giving in to sin. Don't do it. And live according to the new man, the new nature, your born-again life, which God created in you out of His own righteousness and His true holiness. So the moment you got born again is the moment that you became righteous and holy. Well, I don't feel righteous and holy. It doesn't matter what you feel. It's what God has done for you. Gee whiz, guys. If we had to sit around and wait until we felt like we were this and felt like we'd never get anywhere with God. It's not about how you feel. It's not about what you've done. It's about what God has said and what God has done. And if God says, look, the moment you accept my son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I release into you my life and my nature, which is also holiness and righteousness. And that's what you have and that's what you are.
Amen. Oh, but God,
if you're not going to come before my throne and tell me that you know what you are, then don't come and try to get me to agree that you aren't what I say. Whatever. God's not nearly as confusing as I am. So he says, live according to who you become in him. You put off all that old junk. Quit doing those things. Look at another place, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And just look here in verse 5. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. In other words, here it is again, a variation on the theme. Lay those things down. Stop doing that stuff. Well, I just don't think I can. You go, No. You were born again and created in righteousness and true holiness. The power of righteousness and true holiness, which has come from God, is in you when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is the power you need to stop doing those things. Stop trying to figure it out with your mind and just start living it. Well, that's easier said than done. Well, then you just don't really want to accept what God has done for you, then do you? Because, look, God said it before I did. Mortify, therefore, your members. Just stop doing this stuff. Stop living according to the old man. Start living according to the new nature. Now, what do we see in this? What we saw in Ephesians and what we just read here in Colossians, what are we seeing? God is telling us to do something, right? But it's totally unrelated to the gift He has given us. The gift he's given us is not dependent upon us mortifying the flesh. You say, wait a minute, you telling me I could be a pastor and sin like the devil? I didn't say that. Don't you twist my words. What I said was the gift is there. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the gift is there. You may not know what that gift is. You may not be operating in that gift. And trust me, if you're sinning like the devil, God's not going to raise you up in that gift. He's not going to promote you. But the gift is there. Are you born again? Yes, the gift is there. But I sinned yesterday. Well, the gift is still there. Yeah, but I sinned the day before. The gift is still there. Yeah, but I sinned the day before that. Then mortify your members which are upon the earth. Come on. Live according to the righteousness and true holiness who you are in Christ. Just live it, man. Just live it. Yeah, but I feel so weak. Yeah, but your sufficiency isn't in you, and that's what you're trying to do, is be sufficient in and of yourself. Your sufficiency is not in the flesh. Your sufficiency is in your salvation. Your sufficiency is in what Christ has done for you. And when it comes to your ministry calling, the sufficiency or the development of that call, now listen, is based upon God. Let me show you something. Let me show you a passage. Keep in mind what we just read here in Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3. He says, you stop doing these things. You make that change. You mortify the members. Now, Philippians chapter 2. And here in Philippians chapter 2, look in verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You say, well, I don't get this. On the one hand, Scripture's telling me I'm supposed to stop doing this, and I'm supposed to stop doing that, and I'm supposed to mortify the flesh, and I'm supposed to you know, stop living according to the old lusts and feelings, and I'm supposed to start living according to the new nature, and who have I come in Christ? And he said, I'm supposed to do it. But then you turn right around and read something to me, says that God's the one that's working in me. Well, which is it? Am I supposed to do it, or is God working in me? I don't understand. Who's supposed to be doing the work here? You're supposed to be doing the work when it comes to mortifying the flesh, because it's your flesh. It's not God's. He's given you His life. Now we are supposed to take the power of that life, righteousness and true holiness, and live according to His holiness and righteousness. But when it comes to the ministry, to the calling, to the gift, He says, I will work in you to will and to do of my good pleasure. What is your good pleasure? That you become the pastor I called you to be. That you become the evangelist I've called you to be. That you become the this, that you become the that. In other words, He's saying, look, when it comes to refusing to sin, I cannot make that refusal for you. You have to be the one to say no. Adam should have said no, but he didn't. He said, but when it comes to operating in this gift, this is something that I have given to you. And just like that toy that has to be put together on Christmas morning for the child, I will work in you to will and to do of my good pleasure and put all the pieces together of your evangelistic calling. I will work in you to put together all the pieces of your teacher calling, your pastor calling, whatever it is. I will work in you to put all these pieces together. And when it's done, yeah, you'll be a pastor, but the way you pastor is going to be different from the way he pastors, and the way that she evangelizes will be different from the way that he evangelizes, and so on and so forth. He says, but I'll work in you to will and to do of my good pleasure. But you're the one that has to make the decision to mortify the flesh. Now here's what's interesting. The more that we make that decision to live according to the new man, created in the righteousness and true holiness of God, the moment that we make that decision to mortify the flesh, oh, come on, you can do it. And the flesh is saying, I don't want to do it. It's going to feel good. And I just can't take the pressure. I have to do this. The moment, and you fight that. And you say, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to do that, because that's not righteous. That's not true holiness. And the power of the righteousness and true holiness of God that is resident on the inside of me equips me to say, no, I'm not doing it. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. The more that we do that, the more God is able to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, to put all the pieces of the gift together so that He can begin raising us up higher and higher and higher into the fulfillment and operation of that gift in our lives. That gift is there in every one of you. You cannot say, but I'm too old to start, because God already knew you were going to use that excuse. You cannot say, I'm too young. If God can speak to a young boy named Samuel, who wasn't even born again, trust me, I don't care if you're 12 years old, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, God can speak to you. He can begin giving you revelation of your gift. Stop looking at your career in the secular world. That is not your gift. That is an ability. There is no such thing as a ministry gift of bricklayer. Good bricklayers are paid a lot of money because they're good with laying bricks. There is no such thing as the ministry of car mechanic. Car mechanics, they make good money because they keep you driving down the road. On and on it goes. But those are abilities. That's not the gift that's come from God. Musicians, I mean, on and on it goes. God has given you a gift. It's in there. You have to accept that it's there. You have to believe this. And I know a lot of people still won't accept it, even after hearing a message like this and seeing it in Scripture. But the gift is there, and it's always going to be there, and God's never going to change His mind. It's there. What we have to do is accept it. It's there. I don't know what it is yet, but it's there. And God is on His throne expecting that we're going to do what's necessary to find out what that gift is. We go, okay, well, how do I find out? Well, the teaching series, Taking Heed to Your Ministry, will help you tremendously. To simplify it, you really need to spend a lot of time with God and in His Word. But that's the very short explanation. Now, get that series and listen to it. Accept that the calling is there, that the gift is there. It's not going away. Do what is necessary to begin discovering it. Mortify the flesh. And God is going to work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I'm telling you right now, the gift is going to come forth. You won't be able to stop it. It'll just start happening. Well, what do I do? You won't have to worry about that either. Because when you get there, you'll know what to do. How long is it going to take? That is up to you. Totally up to you. Well, I don't know. I just don't like to speak in front of people. I used to get nervous speaking in front of people. I mean, so nervous I would almost get sick at my stomach. I mean, literally, I would start feeling nauseous. Didn't want to stand up and speak in front of people. Couldn't stand it. Things have changed. God has worked in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. And you are the beneficiaries. Hallelujah. Although I'm not going to blame God for the jokes. Praise God. So I want to encourage you tonight. You have a gift. It is in there now. And God wants to bring it forth. Mortify the flesh. Accept that it's there. Press into God. Let Him put the pieces together. And just watch as it blossoms in your life. Father, there are a lot of people. They don't know what to make of this message. Because they don't feel a gift on the inside. But it's there. Well, Father, there are a lot of times we don't feel saved. We don't feel born again. But it's there. So I'm praying for everybody that hears this, doesn't yet know what their gift is, what You've given to them. I pray that they would come to the place of understanding this and accepting it. And that, Father, they would just follow these principles that we've seen in the Word and realize You're the one that works in them to help bring that gift forth, but we're the ones that have to mortify the flesh. And Jesus, I want to thank You. You know, we look at ourselves and we really don't see ourselves as being qualified or capable or whatever. But our qualification came with salvation. Our capability and our sufficiency comes from You. So I don't have to worry about making it happen. Praise God.